2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah, what do you got?
I really want to do this.
What?
I really want to do this.
What?
I want to go spend time in the offseason with a guy like Herm Edwards.
Do you think that they'd, they'd let you. Can I tag along, though? Can we make this part of the show?
I think it would be fun to kind of go around the Pac-12 and just hang out at some of these, like, spring football.
Okay. Number one is Mike Leach, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Got to visit
Mike Leach. I
don't know
that we want to go to Pullman in the spring.
We'll meet him in the middle. Say, we'll meet you in Boise.
No. You have to go to Pullman. You have to experience it. But I would just love to. I'll tell you another one. I don't know if he would be amenable to it because he seems a little bit wound tight. And that's Chris Peterson.
He seems like he would act like he would think he's very much like Kyle Whittingham. I think in the sense that he would be like, I don't want you taking any of our state secrets here.
I'd love to go hang out at Utah. I've never
Here's
done that.
My question. Would Coach Whittingham allow it?
Absolutely.
Because, but listen.
I don't know. I
don't know if
they'd
let me.
If it appeared like it was a media thing,
yeah.
I think it
well,
would
guess
be,
what? It's a
be
media
kind of
thing.
Challenging. Well, I know.
I'm just letting you know that's what we do.
I understand. but it would just be.
But Whit is, yeah.
I'm fascinated by people, and I think
Herm Edwards
I think
is
Herm
fascinating.
Is a fascinating individual, and I'd love to just pick his brain for no other reason than just my own satisfaction.
We'll talk about this more in the next couple of days here, but on Thursday and Friday shows are going to be more dedicated to buckling down. But what freaks you out about Arizona State? Like when I say freaks you out, there's this kind of like. Ethereal, well, like, but they lose to these guys all the time. And that to me doesn't, I don't care about that. What I really care about is the fact that Herm Edwards is a scheme guy. He'll study film and they'll have a game plan. And they have Eno Benjamin in the backfield. They have this freshman quarterback, Daniel.
Here's what makes me nervous about Herm Edwards.
What?
And he said it. He said, you're only as good as your staff is. And when he's willing to go out and say, Marvin Lewis, who was a head coach in the NFL, who's a very sharp football mind, he just goes,
Two former NFL coaches are on that sideline.
I want you to be around our program.
Yeah.
I want you to see, Marvin knows defense. I mean, he was part of one of the greatest defenses ever in the NFL. He was in Baltimore when I was there. So, and there's a willingness to kind of think outside the box. Like Herm Edwards is not in this, you know, this is how
he's the path paver. Like he's the one who makes his own kind of way.
He completely is. And I believe he has those players believing in what he's selling.
If you were to look at, I mean, I know this is actually kind of an annoying analogy, but it makes sense to me. when people in the tech industry go, oh, he's disrupting the $4 billion industry of toilet paper, you know, you're like, I hate the word disruption. But Herm Edwards gets in and he does things differently,
yeah,
to the point that it shakes things up and it gets results in a different way. And it beats things in a different way. I mean,
if he was just kind of weird and no one responded to him and he was just out there, he's just kind of...
Scott, this team's 5-1.
Right.
And they're in the top 20.
And you know what? They're not that good. I don't
Everybody
believe,
says, yeah, I don't, okay, hold I, on a minute. Because everybody says they're kind of overrated okay, right
so,
now.
But here's, that's my point, is that he's really maximizing... You're asking me what concerns me.
He's the X factor.
It's very clear he's getting the absolute most out of everything that he has.
And Mike Leach is that way too.
Yes.
I mean, they've struggled a little bit this year, but this is a guy who would get wins.
He can go into Washington State and find a way to win.
And he would get wins in places by out-dueling the guy on the other sideline. He's not going to out-talent Chris Peterson ever. He's not going to out-talent these California schools. But he beats them consistently because, well, not Chris Peterson. The Apple Cups struggle for Washington State every year. But it's a deal, though, where it's like, man, these guys, they know how to coach. So I think there's a lot of correlation between, even though they're very different people, Herm Edwards and Mike Leach, they're so different. But you know what? They are very similar. In fact, they just do things their own weird way.
Herm Edwards is soulful.
Yeah.
You know, he tugs at your heart. And
Mike Leach
is an intellectual.
Has no feelings.
And he's very much about the cerebral and the brain and kind of, you know, thinking things through it from a mental side of things, but both very effective.
Let me ask you this. We're going to switch gears a little bit about the NFL. I haven't gone to a lot of NFL games in my career. Scott, have you been to a couple of those before?
Quite a few, actually.
Now, how many have you gone to as a spectator?
As few as I possibly can.
That's so funny to me.
I do not have a desire to go. It's been fun to take people back to, like, Lions games.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fun. Like, I'd go to a few Dolphins games when I lived in Florida because I really enjoyed my teammates and my time there.
Sure.
And that was fun. And, of course, it's kind of fun to go to South Florida. It's fun to see guys you played with.
So this
but
is
not
where
to just sit in the stands and be
this
a fan.
This is a rare moment. This is a rare moment of me saying you're kind of not allowed in this conversation. Totally.
Oh,
all right. And here's why.
Okay.
Because the rest of us who look at NFL games like a destination, like a bucket list
yes.
item. I mean, and so you have. I mean, and the tickets have gotten expensive that it feels like that.
I'm really jaded, aren't I?
Yeah, really are when you're going, first world problems.
Really
I can't stand all NFL games. Oh, I've been to too many of them, and I watch them differently. So the home field advantage in the NFL is disappearing. And that is because – so when they have – now, initially, this article that was up in the New York Post talks a lot about kind of the gambling aspect. And in the gambling side of things, and I know a lot of people listening, this is not their thing. It's not my thing. But they typically will go, hey, if you're at home, you get kind of some points as an advantage. Like, hey, you know, it's typically 3 points.
Right.
Because it's like, look, if you're at home, that's just an advantage already.
Always hard in my era to win on the road in the NFL.
So there was this
no matter who you are.
There's this weird thing that happened over the weekend where the Rams were playing in their home stadium in Los Angeles, and the 49ers come to town, and the Coliseum was 100% red, it seemed like. Somebody shot a video and inside the thing, and I'm going, oh, my goodness. These 49er fans were the majority of the stadium. It was not a home game for the Rams. I went to Cowboy Stadium a few years ago for the Cowboys 49ers to open the season. And I remember looking around Cowboy Stadium and going, this is not a home game. It only is because the star in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
The crowd was nuts when the 49ers would have a first down because it was seriously about a 50-50 split from what I saw inside the stadium. And they have become destination games. They've become bucket list games. And the NFL home field advantage is almost gone, Scott.
So I think what the part of the challenge is, you mentioned ticket price, and I think it's more of a corporate environment. So it's like our company has tickets. You want to go to the game.
Right.
And you go to the game not because you're a passionate fan and you've tailgated all day and you're going to live and die by every play.
There's no lists of the most rowdy
or the
loudest stadiums in the NFL. It kind of ends at Green Bay.
Right. It's Green Bay.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it's actually Detroit. Detroit kind of had the Steelers. They have that tradition. Miami wasn't like that. Cincinnati was actually
by the way,
probably more.
No Super Bowls like that.
Right. No, not at all.
It just is not a thing. It's just like these are environments for where me, it's not the same.
For me, though, here's what it was. I got booed at home games when I was in Detroit, so I love going on the road. I was just like, I felt more comfortable on the road than I did at home. It was like there was less noise.
Did you already get booed? Like in introductions, did they boo you?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Did they not want to win at all?
That's my whole point. It's like, are you people serious? Are you that like demented? Are you that? You know, it's like really
such bitter fans.
Just like okay, whatever. You know, it's so ridiculous. But there's certainly the corporate aspect to all of this, but my first game in Detroit, we're tied with the Atlanta Falcons, and no, we're actually behind, and we're behind, but we can kick a field goal and win the game,
right?
And I'm on the sideline. It's very clear we're going to get the ball back. The fans are leaving before we ever even get the
why.
Goal. Because they wanted to get up on the mezzanine level to watch the end of the game so they could get out of there in a hurry.
That is funny.
And so I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. You know, it's like, this is NFL
fans.
What's
funny? You know what's funny at Knoxville? And these are Tennessee. These are mad Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
When BYU got that long play, able to kick the field goal to send it to overtime. So it's tied and regulation's over. The Tennessee fans just were leaving. They're streaming out of the stadium. They're like, I'm not interested in overtime because this is a loss for us.
Yeah, yeah. We like, can't take this anymore.
I can't do this.
If I don't see it, it didn't happen.
Like, it was so bad to give up that 65-yard play to Micah Simon at the end of that game. All right, taking the break here. We've got our 2-minute drill next. Stay with us. Wrapping up the show next on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.